When young, we imagine love to be that sweet, simple thing that we're just filled with appreciation and passion for another person, and it just flows out naturally. We fall into love. As we get older, we realize love is the reasoned commitment to act in the best interest of another person. It requires that we do homework and that we adjust our own lives to accommodate those we love. It's not that simple, passionate expression that we thought it was when we were young. And isn't it as it should be? Because something as dear as love should not be cheaply won. Well, continuing with the languages of love. So I have bought things for Nancy, and typically when I do, Nancy would respond, "Well, that's really nice, honey, but I don't need that." And I go, what does that have to do with anything? Honey, this is stuff. We can make some storage space for you, too, so you can store your stuff. And she says, "Besides that, we can't afford it." And I say, "Honey, that's not our problem. That's the bank's problem." If you have the sense that one of us is better at managing money than the other, you are correct. Quite correct. So being a very quick learner, it only took me 27 years to notice that this wasn't working very well. And you may think that to be merely a fable, and you are welcome to consult Nancy, who will confirm that I'm a slow learner. That I figure that if something I'm doing isn't working, all I need to do is do lots more of it. And I have. Keep buying her more stuff and bigger stuff, which didn't work any better than my first attempt. So finally I said to myself, "Wally, what works with Nancy? What works? What does she do to show love? What has she appreciated in the past? What does she ask for?" And with a little bit of reflection, I thought, okay, Nancy will fairly often take a 3x5 index card, and on it she will write a sincere expression of appreciation. From the time we first married, she's done that. Some expression of love and appreciation, and she'll put it in my bag, and in the course of the day, I'll open my bag and find that note. I'll go, "That is so sweet." And then I'll dig in my bag saying, "I wonder where the stuff is." Because, of course, if she loved me, there would be stuff. Well, there wasn't stuff in the early years, but then Nancy learned more quickly than I. And one of the annual conferences I attend is the National Council on Family Relations. Every year they have a conference in November. And within a few years, Nancy started sending me to NCFR with, in the suitcase, a little wrapped package for every day that I'm gone. Because Nancy's a very thrifty person, these are things that were bought on sale at Kmart, which made her happy, but it was stuff. I've still got some of that stuff, even the 50-cent treasures. You know, have you seen those little rubber balls that are just like hemispheres and they're hollow and you turn them inside out and set them on the counter and they jump? Cool. And I still have my full set of those that Nancy gave me probably a decade ago. Well, I realized that Nancy liked sincere expressions, and I thought, okay, Wally, why don't you try something different? The stuff thing isn't working for Nancy. Try something different. So about five and a half years ago, as the holiday season approached, the big gift-giving season, I thought, I'm going to try this new approach. So I pulled out my calendar. I keep one of those simple month-at-a-glance calendars. And on it, I write down every single day of my life what I did that day. And it's just a little tiny square, so it's not much room and there's not much information. But I can tell you what I've done every day for the last 35 years. And some of you are asking, "So what?" And I don't know why that's important to me, but it is. And I've been keeping a record. So that year, when I wanted to prepare something for Nancy, I pulled out my calendar. And I started paging through it. Back in January, I began, and I read through the events. And it's surprising to me, as maybe it has been to you, that just back a few months, we forget some of those things that were felt like such a blessing at the time. Isn't it true? Just a few months ago, I'll bet each of you has done something that is now lost largely to memory, and even worse, lost to your heart. So I started paging through it and looking at places Nancy and I had gone together and experiences we'd have had and blessings of seeing our children marry and be happy and seeing these different experiences in our lives. And each month there were several, two or three or four or five. So I sat down at the computer with my calendar and I started to write. And I said, "Dear Nancy, remember when?" And I started to write about all the wonderful, joyous, meaningful experiences we'd shared. And it felt good. It felt good to write those things. And it took a lot of time. I went to February, March, April. I worked my way through the year writing on the computer all these things for Nancy about sweet experiences we'd shared, and ended up with single-spaced, probably a three- or four-page letter. And I printed it out on some really nice paper, and I put a sticker on it that was not bought at Kmart on sale. It was one of those expensive ones, and put it in a nice envelope and put it under our Christmas tree. Well, Christmas came, and it's our tradition that our youngest, Sarah, passes out one gift at a time to each person. We all try to enjoy the blessing of their receiving a gift. So that process began, and it was a while before she got down to that envelope that had the letter in it. She got there, and my anxiety was rising. I thought, I haven't bought Nancy any stuff. She's going to hate me. She's going to leave me. She's going to make fun of me in the newspaper. My anxiety level was rising. Sarah handed her the envelope, and Nancy was a little confused, not knowing what that was. Nancy opened it, unfolded it, and began to read. She read about January and the blessings of that month and February. As she read, the tears began to pour down her face. And she said, "Honey, this is what I want." And I said, "Oh, good. And there are going to be some great sales after Christmas." So, now, every year, I get out my calendar. And I start to write. I write about the sweet experiences of the year. And you'd think that maybe that would work once and never again. Seems to work every year. Because that's Nancy's language of love. Nancy wants to celebrate the good experiences we've had together. Nancy wants to appreciate the blessings that come into our lives. And so when I take the time, and indeed it takes time, it takes more time than going out and buying a present. And it's Nancy's language of love. Now the problem that's developed is that once I figured out what her language of love was, then our children followed suit. And last Christmas, every member of the family gave Nancy a letter. And I remember on Christmas night, Nancy said, "Honey, I don't know if I can carry on." She said, "I feel like my eyes are going to fall out. I've been crying all day long." Because every time she received a letter with expressions of love and appreciation, it filled her heart and flooded out of her eyes. Languages of love. We can notice what other people care about. And while we may often show love and wonder why our partner's so unappreciative, instead of being insulted, maybe we should choose to say, here's an opportunity for me to learn. Here's an opportunity for me to investigate. Here's an opportunity for me to synchronize with this person. Incidentally, I learned something akin to this in parent-child relationships also. I was a high school math teacher for years before I went back to get a PhD. And as a high school math teacher, one of the subjects I taught was geometry. I remember some years ago when a student in the class named Scott taught me a lot. Scott was a short, very mild fellow, quiet most of the time, but a sweet, gentle, good-hearted boy. And I love Scott. I loved him then. I love him now. One day, while the students were working on their assignment, their geometry assignment, Scott called me over to his desk. And I went over to Scott and I said, "Scott, what's up?" And he said, "You know, Mr. Goddard, what I like to do on Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. is I like to drive the truck up north of town and park it and then crawl through the mud and the cattails up to the edge of the lake. And I just love to watch the ducks come in and land. and they paddle around, and I like to watch them take off. It's wonderful. And he said, you want to go with me Saturday? Now, I don't know what you usually do Saturday mornings at 6. Little something like that. That's what I usually do. But I thought, see, one of our family mottos, we've got more than one, and one of our family mottos is, why not? Why not? Sometimes we miss a lot of glorious opportunities because somebody invites us to do something we haven't usually done. So we've tried to say, why not? Why not? So, Scott picked me up on Saturday morning, and we went up to the lake. We parked the truck and crawled right to the edge of the lake and watched the ducks land and take off. It was a lovely experience, and I'm not addicted. I had a nice time, but I still managed to sleep in on Saturday mornings in spite of that glorious experience. Well, that was for me just one shoe dropping. The other shoe came a few weeks later when, again, as the students were working on their assignments, Scott called me over and I said, "Hi, Scott, what's up?" And he said, "Mr. Goddard, my dad is taking me big game hunting in Montana." Montana is some distance from where we lived then in Utah. He said, "My dad's taking me big game hunting, and he's arranged a hunting lodge and a guide and horses, and boy, we're going to have a glorious time." And as a public school teacher, I was thinking, yikes, that's like 3 years' salary. And so I was kind of amazed. I said, "Scott, you must be excited." This seemed to be a question that caught Scott off guard. He paused and he said, "You know, not really. I really wish that my dad would go with me up to the lake and watch the ducks." Sometimes we do for others what we do because it's really for us. In fact, if confession is good for the soul, let me enrich my soul here. Andy, our son, earned his Eagle Scout Award, and I said, "Andy, I'm so proud of you that I'd like to take you to Mulboon's for dinner." And I was feeling enormously noble. Why did I want to go to Mulboon's? Was it because Andy loved it or because I loved it? Because I know that Mulboon's offers a pound of boiled shrimp on ice for each entree that's ordered. And if I take with me 3 or 4 people who don't like shrimp, I can eat 3 or 4 pounds of shrimp myself before eating dinner. There it is, confession. Well, Andy, who's gentle but wise, said, "Dad, I don't know if that's what I want." And I hate to admit it, I said, "Andy, I don't know if you get to pick what you get." What? Who got the Eagle Scout Award? Am I taking myself out to dinner? Well, after a while, I got myself settled down a little, you know, some deep breathing. I got settled down. I said, "Andy, if you had a chance to choose, what would you want?" And he said, "Dad, I don't want a lot. It's just that we live here. We lived in, at that time, in Logan, Utah, where I was working on my PhD. And he said, "You know, when I go skiing with the high school group that goes up, has a skiing class on Saturdays, snow skiing, he says, I have to spend almost the entire morning waiting in line to rent skis. He said, is there a chance we could look through some yard sales, garage sales, and find some used skis and buy them for me so I don't have to waste all that time?" Don't you hate it when kids are reasonable? I said, "Well, okay, you look in the paper and see if you can find any youth skis for sale." And he did. Within a few days, he found skis, poles, and boots for $20 in his size. And I found a different reason to go to Mulboon's. So when it comes to languages of love, we can notice what matters to other people. We can notice what's important to them. Well, let me look at a third idea, and they're all really related. It's about customizing your love. I want to talk about 3 languages of love in this part and 2 in a minute. I believe, and there are different ways of thinking about languages of love. The way I like to think about it is there's show me, tell me, touch me. Show me. Think about show me. Can you picture a sweet woman in the kitchen working crazily, trying to take care of kids, answer the phone, prepare dinner. And her husband comes in to get a soda out of the fridge and says, "Honey, I sure love you." And she tenses up. And he thinks, "That's so weird. I don't know why she's been tense the 20 years of our marriage." And she is saying in her heart, "If you loved me, you would wash carrots or change diapers or answer the phone or help around the house." That's a show me, isn't it? And of course, almost always, show me's marry people who aren't showers. That's the conspiracy of nature at work. So show me's. We can notice our partner's requests. And often they'll ask us to do things we don't prefer, just as it should be. Love is not something cheaply given or easily shown. It requires a sacrifice of the soul. And I'm not saying that sacrifice is good in its own right. I believe in intelligent sacrifice, that just giving up without somebody being blessed by it is not useful. So show me. There are also tell me's. Those people who are dying to hear those words, "I love you. You're so important to me. I just couldn't live without you." And they marry the strong, silent type who, after being pestered and cajoled, finally says, "Look, I told you I loved you when I married you, and if it changes, I'll let you know." So there are show-me's, there are tell-me's, and there are touch-me's. Touch-me's. Have you known people who love to snuggle? They'd rather snuggle than eat. You too, huh? Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's funny is we may think of that as a female thing, and I'm pretty sure I'm not a female. And yet I just absolutely love snuggling. And my dear wife, who's always borne the greater burden of keeping everything going, was used to pop up out of bed at 5 in the morning and just start dashing about, getting things organized and ready for the day. Now, as the years have gone by, she has very much accommodated her husband. So now, we may wake up about 5, and usually I wake up a few minutes before she. And as soon as she stirs, I put out my arm, and she rolls over, and we snuggle, and I'm in heaven. Now, if you're young, you may have a hard time imagining that you can hug for 45 minutes and not have something break out. And I'm here to tell you that snuggling is, in its own right, a sweet blessing for people who are snugglers. Or sitting close enough to let your shoulders touch. Or whatever it is. And my sweet wife is wonderful at showing love. Although there are those three languages of love, each one of them unique. But there are also, I think, universal languages. Taking time and being understanding. Think about what those two have in common. Taking time is about bringing myself to be where you are physically. Being understanding is bringing my heart to where you are emotionally. So in both cases, it's a matter of bringing myself to you, offering my whole soul as an offering. And sometimes that takes the form of time, and sometimes it takes the form of compassion or understanding. I think of the example I heard of about a wife who one evening, while the husband was reading the evening paper, the wife came in from preparing dinner and all her chores in the kitchen. She came in and said to her husband, as she sighed deeply, she said, "Oh, I am so tired." And he, wanting to be noble and helpful, said, "Honey, why don't you go lay down for a few minutes before you finish cooking dinner?" She stiffened, stomped out of the room, and slammed the door. And he said, as men tend to say, "I wonder why she's been tense for the last 20 years. And you may say, "Well, okay, so she says she's tired. What am I supposed to make of that?" And here's the answer. Nothing. You let her decide what that means. So you say, "Oh, honey, it looks to me like you're tired from the bottoms of your soul. It looks to me like you're just exhausted." So we reflect. Remember when we talked earlier about that little boy in trouble? We say, "It looks like you've had a horrible day." And we let the person who had the experience tell us what it means. And maybe she'll say, "You know, today my boss at work just chewed me out and I felt like zero." Or maybe she'll say, sometimes I just get overwhelmed and exhausted and feel desperate for a break. Or maybe she'll say, could you order pizza? I mean, what I'm tired means depends on her life experience. So instead of trying to interpret and mind read and guess, we do well to just say, wow, it looks like you're really tired. And you tell me about it. And let her just say what that means. Well, I have twice as much stuff here as I have time for. Let me conclude. There was a story I heard that I thought was a fascinating one. Languages of love are tough to learn. They don't come easily. They don't come immediately. But I love the story of the man who was about my age and decided he needed to have some better health habits. So he changed his diet, started walking, and he really tried to change his daily regimen. Well, one day he showed up at work carrying an enormous and very rich coffee cake. And his coworkers said, hey, we thought you had decided to be healthy. What's with this coffee cake? And he said, just a minute. This is no ordinary coffee cake. I have indeed tried to change my ways. And normally I don't go past the bakery anymore. But this morning I found myself in front of the bakery. And as I passed the bakery, I looked up in the window and I saw this coffee cake. And it looked very special. And so I prayed and I said, Lord, if you want me to have that coffee cake, make a parking place for me in front of the bakery. And he said, sure enough, on the eighth time around the block, don't you love that idea? We may, in our efforts to love and serve each other, be pretty unskilled. And we bump into each other and don't do very well. But if we keep going around the block, we will eventually have the coffee cake. Thank you.